this message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Imagine if somebody walked up to you and said, "I just found the Son of God, the promised Savior of sinners. His name is Jesus. Come with me. I'll bring you to Him." What would you think? Now, you might think that this person was crazy, but you might just follow that person out of curiosity. I mean, if this person could actually bring you to Jesus, what an awesome thing that would be. We are still in the Epiphany season, and as we learned on Sunday, January 6th, the word Epiphany means shine upon. You see, during the Epiphany season, we remember how the light of God's Word shines in this world of darkness and thereby leads people to Jesus, the Son of God who was born of the Virgin Mary to save us from our sins and give us new life with God. Now, in our Gospel reading, we heard about the ministry of John the Baptist. God sent John to get the people of Israel ready to meet the Lord. One day, Jesus was coming toward John and also to the crowds to whom he was preaching. And then John pointed the crowds to Jesus and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." If you look on the front of your bulletin cover, there's a little metal medallion there. On the right side of it, you have John the Baptist, and he's pointing to a lamb. And if you notice, there's something gushing out of the side of that lamb that stands for the blood of the lamb. Now you might wonder, why did John call Jesus the Lamb of God? Well, you need to remember that John was preaching to the people of Israel. And if you read the Old Testament scriptures, you know that for centuries, the people of Israel had been sacrificing lambs, as God commanded them to do, because the shed blood of these lambs was a picture of the sacrifice that would be made by the promised Savior who would deliver His people from their sins. In fact, we heard about this promised Savior in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah talks about the servant of the Lord. In Isaiah, we read what God said to this promised Savior. He said, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. And now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb to be His servant, to gather Israel to Himself." Did you hear that? Here we see that the servant will bring the people of Israel back to God. Therefore, in this text, the servant of the Lord can only be one special person. And of course, that person is none other than Jesus, the Lamb of God. But why then does God call His servant by the name Israel in verse 3 of Isaiah 49? Well, simply put, the servant of the Lord is the true Israel of God. Jesus is the perfect Israel. He is the perfect Son of God. And only through faith in Jesus do we get to be children of God and part of His people, Israel. So, now we know why John the Baptist was so excited when he saw Jesus coming toward him. But you might wonder, how did John know for sure that this Jesus was the promised Savior? Well, remember, John was the one who had previously baptized Jesus. In fact, we learned about the baptism of Jesus last Sunday. When John baptized Jesus, he saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And then John heard the Father speak from heaven and say, "You are my Son." After that, whenever John saw Jesus, he would point people to him and say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In fact, one day when John pointed people to Jesus and called him the Lamb of God, two of John's disciples took notice and they began to follow Jesus. Now, one of these men was none other than Andrew, who ends up being one of Jesus' 12 apostles. In addition, Andrew was also the brother of Simon Peter, another future apostle of Jesus. However, if you were paying attention, you noticed that Peter was not with Andrew and John when he was pointed to Jesus. So then how did Peter meet Jesus? Our gospel reads, "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' and he brought him to Jesus." Did you hear that? Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. Now, what do we learn from this today? Two things. First, we learn that God used others to bring us to Jesus. And second, we also learn that God will use us to bring others to Jesus. But first, let's focus on that first thing we learn, the fact that we are saved through faith in Jesus because God used someone to bring us to Jesus. Now, for many of us here, God used our parents to bring us to Jesus. In fact, they brought us to church while we were still in the womb. They brought us to holy baptism where we were born again of water and the Spirit, receiving Jesus and his gifts of salvation. They nurtured us in our salvation by making sure that we continued to hear the Word of God at home and especially at Sunday school and church. They made sure that we were prepared to receive Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Yes, for many of us, Jesus used our parents and others to bring us to himself. On the other hand, though, there are some individuals who did not grow up in a Christian home. So who brought them to Jesus? Well, usually later in their lives, God used other people to bring them to Jesus. God used people to speak his word to them, and through that word they were convicted of their sin and brought to faith in Jesus. So the point is, we are now Christians with the hope of salvation because God used other people to bring us to Jesus. That leads to the second thing we learn from our gospel reading. Simply put, just like God used Andrew to bring Peter to Jesus, God will use you and me to bring others to Jesus. But how do we do this? Well, you see, unlike Andrew, we can't bring people to Jesus himself in the flesh, can we? I mean, Jesus is not present with us in visible form as he was when Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. But you know what? That really doesn't matter. You see, throughout most of this world's history, Jesus was not present in visible form. But that didn't stop believers from bringing other people to Jesus. For example, throughout the entire history of the Old Testament, people were brought to Jesus through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Now, none of these people in the Old Testament ever met Jesus in person, but they waited for him in faith. They waited for Jesus and they trusted in his coming. And they knew that not even death could keep them from the salvation that Jesus would bring. Now, the same thing happened after Jesus ascended to heaven. even after Jesus left this world in visible form, the believers continued to bring others to Jesus through the preaching and teaching of His Word. In fact, for almost 2,000 years after Jesus' ascension, Christians like you and me have been bringing people to Jesus by sharing God's Word with them. And we get to continue this mission today, right here in Jamestown. Now, having said that, there is a third thing that we also learn from our gospel reading. Simply put, we usually need to develop a relationship with people if we want to witness to them. Now, I'm not saying there won't be occasions where we simply share the gospel with people we hardly know. God may give us opportunities to do that. But in most cases, before we bring people to Jesus, we usually need to develop a relationship with them. For example, Andrew was Peter's brother. In other words, Andrew had a relationship, a connection with Peter. In addition, Peter had been raised as a believer. Peter knew about the promised Messiah from Scripture. Peter already trusted in Jesus, it's just that he had not actually met Him yet. But you know what? Not every person we meet will be in that situation. For example, unlike Peter, some of the people we meet may not know very much about Jesus or even why they need to believe in Him at all. So before we are able to bring such people to Jesus, you may first have to establish a relationship with them and find out what they know and what they don't know about God and His Word. Therefore, you know what that means? It means we need to get to know people, become their friend, earn their trust, and eventually you may be able to witness to them when God gives you the opportunity. But I know what some of you may be wondering. How do I give a witness to people about Jesus? Well, first of all, you can give a verbal witness. One of the reasons you come to church and Bible class is not merely to have your faith strengthened for yourself, but it's also that you might be equipped so that you can know the basic gospel message and be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have when people ask you. So giving a verbal witness about who Jesus is and why you believe in Him and what He's done for you is very important and effective. But on top of that, you can also read Bible passages to them. Give them a Bible, yes, but don't leave them alone by themselves with the Bible. Use your own knowledge to show them the central passages of Scripture that point to Jesus. And of course, the way you learn about those passages is by regular attendance at church and especially Bible class. That's why I hope to see even more of you coming to Bible class, not only for your own faith, but that you might be equipped to be effective witnesses to others. In addition, you can also give people tracts, books, magazines that teach about Jesus and why we need Him. We have resources right here at church that you can use for that. On top of that, you can invite them to come with you to church and especially to Bible class. In fact, it's in Bible class where they can maybe come up to me and ask their questions. There's so many ways you can help bring people to Jesus. In fact, my friends, this is how the Church of Christ has grown throughout history. And this is how the Church of Christ will continue to grow today, as God uses you and me to bring other people to Jesus. Now, having said all that, if you're like me, you have not always been a faithful witness. I look back on my life and I hang my head in shame when I think that there were times I had an opportunity to witness and instead I remained silent. Worse yet, there were other times when I may have actually been a bad witness because of my words or my deeds. But you know what? In spite of our guilt over our failure to be faithful witnesses. We can stand here today knowing that we are forgiven because of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We can repent of all the times that we have been less than faithful witnesses, knowing that we are holy and innocent before God because of Jesus, the servant of the Lord, the Lamb of God who came to be our Savior. In fact, the forgiveness we receive from Jesus gives us comfort when we think about witnessing. Whenever we feel guilty over the fact that we maybe haven't been the kind of witness we should be, we then look to Jesus and He comforts us, saying to you, your sins are forgiven. Jesus gives us comfort. But on top of that, that same forgiveness also gives us encouragement. That same forgiveness that flows into our heart gives us the desire to have other people know that same joy and forgiveness. The forgiveness that Jesus gives to us encourages us to be His witnesses in the world. God will use you, my friends. Think about it. Andrew was a sinner, just like you and me. Peter was a sinner, just like you and me. But God forgave them, and then He used them to bring others to Jesus. In the same way, God has completely forgiven you, and He will use you to bring others to Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the servant of the Lord, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.